Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon. And of course, we have our fearless producer in the studio with us, making it all happen, Miss Katie Galley. Lee, you ready for this?
I am.
All right. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast COO with ServCorp, Mr. Marcus Muforidge. How are you, sir?
I'm terrific. Thank you.
Well, Marcus, can you share a little bit about ServCorp? What are you doing for folks?
Yeah, sure. I mean, ServCorp is actually an Australian business started nearly 40 years ago in flexible workspace. So we actually offer small businesses and large businesses the ability to expand their market or open a branch office or really just open their first office anywhere around the world. We're in 150 locations in 52 cities in 21 countries. And we run that whole business as if it's one building, one platform, one phone system. So there's really seamless travel around or seamless mobility around the ServCorp platform as you go. And we offer virtual offices, co-working, and private offices as well.
Now, how have you seen the industry change over the last few years?
Yeah, look, it's been really dramatic. I mean, a lot of people think that flexible workspace is a new phenomenon. And really, you know, we have been the premium niche in a niche industry. So, you know, we have very iconic locations. We've invested a lot in a technology platform that runs the business, and we spend a lot on a per square foot basis on our fit out. So we've been the premium brand in a niche industry in commercial real estate. And really, what's happened in the last few years is it's becoming much, much more of a mainstream industry. And this is really a change in the mindset of people who are looking for office space, and certainly a change in the way people are working, and a change in certainly the startup culture of the economy as well.
Now, are you seeing that worldwide, or is that just in America?
Yeah, it's definitely a global phenomenon.
Now, for you guys, what drew you to Atlanta?
Well, you know, we only opened our offices in the U.S. in 2011, 2012. So we've been here for a little over 5 years, and at the time, you know, we actually had previously had a relationship with some operators here, and then we came and opened in this market. And our first location to open was actually Chicago, but we decided that a good place when we were going to expand across 10 states was to open our head office in Atlanta. And you know, we found it was a place that was easier to access from a weather point of view. We found that it was a place that was a good transport hub, obviously. And then also, you know, just in terms of finding the pool of talent that we needed to make our business really work, Atlanta provided all of that, and was pretty economical as well from us being a U.S. startup, if you like.
Now, when you're in a city like Atlanta, so you mentioned that it's growing, high growth. That's probably one of the boxes you got to check. You like the fact there's an international airport, so people can get in and out. Who is the prime kind of target for this service?
For our service?
Right. Like, is it startups?
Yeah, actually no. So we're sort of, when you graduate from being a startup and you're really starting to take your business a little more seriously, it's not even more space necessarily. It's just about how you want to dress your company. And so we have a complete ecosystem that certainly caters to startups, starting with virtual offices. So people working from home, we answer their phones for them. We give them a great, Buckhead address or a Midtown address in, you know, the best and most recognizable buildings in the city. So we certainly do that. But our target market is not necessarily the 20 to 35 year old that's being funded by their parents or anything like that. You know, we're more people who are 35 to 55 who have been working for some time, have some experience, a little more mature in terms of their business experience. And then additionally, you know, we really cater to branch offices of corporates as well. So it's at that sort of little more professional level.
So if you're an enterprise company that is opening an office in Dallas or somewhere else, this would be a good fit for you.
Absolutely.
And you work with them to make it easy for them to go into multiple locations around the country, but with one point of contact.
Exactly. One point of contact. But not only that, and this is something that's really unique to Servcorp, and we've spent a lot of time working on this, you get exactly the same infrastructure, and not just the same infrastructure, but interconnected infrastructure. So you literally have exactly the same experience for your employees nationwide.
So what is your backstory? How did you get involved in this line of work?
Well, actually, my father started the business in 1978. So he was looking to start a property company and basically couldn't find any decent office space for a reasonable price. And he thought, look, if I start my property company, but I share the cost of a receptionist who's going to take my calls, and I share the cost of the real estate, then I'm going to I'm going to be able to have a really great office and a really great address, and all my sales calls are going to get answered. And I don't have to pay all the costs for that. So it's going to keep my overheads low for my new startup business. And that sort of went pretty well. So it was hard at the start because people sort of didn't get the concept of sharing space. But you know, that's how it started. And we then opened in, started in Sydney, opened in Melbourne, and then spread right through Asia in the 80s and Japan and the Middle East in the 90s and then the US in the last 10 years.
Now, is America as a market something that is mature? Like, where is it in the life cycle of this concept? Because I know there's some players here in America that are maybe more well-known here in America than Servcorp.
Yeah, sure. I mean, as I said, we're still going to be, even though this is becoming more mainstream and you've got operators like Regis and WeWork, I mean, the fact is that we're going to continue to be the premium niche. We don't want to be all things to all people. We don't want to be everywhere. We don't want to be the biggest. What we want to do is give the best address and the best facilities to businesses who appreciate that and understand that that's going to actually make their businesses work better. But you know, the US market is quite mature, and that this really dramatic change that's happening isn't necessarily like a disruption of the flexible workspace market. It's actually a disruption of commercial real estate in general. And so more people are demanding more flexible space from landlords. And it's an industry that's ripe to be disrupted, because forcing people into 10-year leases, giving them a concrete box and then disappearing while you collect a check every month is not, people just aren't going to stand for that anymore. And the big corporates used to do that because they wanted to get access to the assets that the landlords owned. But even they are starting to demand more flexible space for their employees and not just sort of taking that. So flexibility in terms of commercial real estate is something that's really going to become more and more mainstream. And we think there's a really great demand and a great position for us as the premium player with a fantastic technology platform underneath it.
Now, when you keep referring to premium player, how are you defining premium? What are the things that make you premium?
Well, I mean, here we're in the Terminus complex in Buckhead. We're in 12th and Midtown. In Midtown, and they're two very recognizable, very premium buildings. So it's about the locations. We're also in, Freedom Tower or One World Trade Center in New York. We're in River Point, which is the newest and best building in Chicago.
So when you go into a market, you aim for like the
super iconic buildings. Absolutely. London, we're in the Cheese Grater. In Dubai, we're in Emirates Towers. In Tokyo, we're in Marunouchi Trust Tower, which is right above Tokyo, the main Tokyo train station. And in Australia, we've just gone into Barangaroo, which is the biggest urban renewal development. And so it's we always go for those super
premium
buildings.
So the iconic premium building. And then when you go in there, is the experience different than you mentioned, like a Regis or a WeWork?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly elevated. So we have a lot more service staff. So you have a lot more people that are there to support your business. So you can
focus. Those tend to be leaner models where they just have a handful of people.
Yeah, they're cutting up boxes. So they make their money on rent arbitrage, and we actually don't make much money on our rent arbitrage. We put a lot more into services, and we think that people will really understand that if you've got better support for your services, a better first impression, which is part of the location situation, and great access to really terrific technology, that your business will be more successful and you'll make more sales. And so businesses, as I said, that are a little more mature, that really understand that, that put their
that
sales
the
and their impression first, yeah, that see the value in that, really seek us out.
So are you the guy, so if you set your sights on a certain city, your next one in the States, for example, is that the Marcus mission now? You go out and you scout and you have the conversations and evaluate the property and decide if it's going to make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do that. I go out and find the properties and scout the city.
Yeah.
I run our operations here in the US, and I also run Australia, and so It's a reasonably big job, but
sounds like a big job.
At the end of the day, you know, making that first fundamental property decision, not just for us, but for any business in terms of how they want to present their business and how they want their business to be perceived is a really important decision. So, you know, at my father and I, he's still involved in the business.
Yeah, but you're the brains, right?
Actually, yeah, that's true. That's true. Very true. I like this guy.
All right. So you've mentioned a couple of times technology. Talk a little bit more about technology, because I get the distinct impression that this is a real competitive advantage and something above and beyond what we might expect from some of these other offerings.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we run a very different model to what other people run in terms of flexible workspace, because they will typically cut up the space, sell little boxes, and connect you to the internet. You know, we have focused on building a global platform, particularly good for corporates that want to be in multiple locations, but also good for businesses that want to get more than coverage in their own city. I mean, the way to grow your business is to get access to a much larger addressable market. And so if you can do that easily and inexpensively, then that's really fantastic. And some of the challenges that you'll face in doing that is dealing with telecommunications providers and all the different people you have to deal with in every different market. Not to mention the wacky tax system that you have here in the US and all that sort of stuff. So you know, we make it really, really, really easy for people to have a platform that they can simply walk into, and it is absolutely seamless. I mean, when you go, if you're a client with us in New York and you have a meeting in Boston, you can walk into our Boston office, you can put your mobile phone on the desk, and the phone that is sitting on the desk, the telephone infrastructure on the desk, will turn into your New York phone. Or it'll turn into a Boston phone if you wanted to. And you can travel anywhere in the Servcorp platform, even internationally. I can go into London and it will recognize who I am, and it'll turn the infrastructure into my desk. And so, you know, we're doing some pretty amazing stuff like that, which people are still sort of coming to terms with understanding in terms of getting complete mobility. But having access to a platform like that is a really powerful thing for businesses, both big and small.
Now, do you have certain industries or niches that kind of find this the most attractive?
Sure. It is a really broad range, and it really depends whether you're going from, you know, whether you're talking about our virtual office product, which, you know, some people have an office with us or have a very big office in Chicago and then might have virtual offices with us in multiple locations, because, you know, people also understand that having a local recognizable address and a local telephone number is actually a really good way to make sales in a local market to expand your business. So people really understand that. So we get a broad range of businesses. It really is for any business who wants to improve their presence, improve their first impression or their profile in a particular market. But if I was to say that the ones that go for us, because we are at that premium end, you know, it's certainly in the financial industry, in the fintech industry, in the entertainment industry. Those people who a first impression is really, really important to them in terms of what they're selling and how they sell it to their people.
But they might be based in your Chicago building, but then travel, and then they can go to and use any of the other addresses.
Any of the other locations, absolutely.
And then, but do they pay extra for that, or is that's called a virtual office?
It depends
office?
How you want to use it. So you can walk in and use any other location and literally walk in and you don't need to produce a credit card or anything like that.
It's as if you're in, like if I'm based in Chicago and I come to Atlanta, I can come to Atlanta and work out of Atlanta as if I was in Chicago.
Absolutely. And you know, if a client here in Atlanta has a customer that rings from Boston and they say, sure, let's meet in my office. And it's that seamless. So they can literally go onto their iPhone immediately and book a meeting room, and that client will go in and it will be their office. And we have no branding. So essentially it is their office,
right.
And then, you know, if they then want to have a touch point there, so if they then want to service that customer, it's very easy for them to use that address. So initially they get access to the entire platform once they're in one place. And then if they want to use the address in their marketing and those sorts of things, then you pay a little bit extra.
All right, I want to play this out a little bit for us. If we really do get serious about the London studio, right, we continue to expand our studios, there's a path here. We could have some kind of presence here in the States, here in Atlanta even, and we could really look sharp in London for a few days or however long we wanted to.
Absolutely.
Right? I'm looking at these virtual office packages, and I mean, that could be really powerful.
Yeah.
So now, when you're working with a customer that is doing it that way. So it's not only that I would have, if I'm the Chicago person, I would have access to the entire, your entire network, mm-hmm. not just the United States.
No,
or
the
that's
whole world.
A US package.
No,
it's a global everything
platform.
Everything is global. Everything you built was with global
in mind. Built globally. We have 5 telecommunications hubs and management hubs around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they're they're in hosted facilities and basically it's the entire 150 office floors are viewed by us as one building.
Now, do you do anything to kind of create a community amongst the people that lease from you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go along and have a look at servcorpcommunity.com and you can go along and have a trial of that as well. And we've actually built a really powerful community platform, and it's really interesting how those two things that we were just talking about really combine, because not only can you go online and actually see who's in your area, or if you're going into a new market and look for people who might be able to help you. And we've got great stories of, a guy in LA who was going to Japan and was looking for a patent attorney in Japan, and has gone onto the Servcorp community and found a patent attorney in Japan who's a client of ours. But literally, you can then pick up the phone and dial that person because their Servcorp extension is listed, and you can dial them like it's an extension in the building, like on 7 digits. And most of our clients have video phones, so we give them video phones.
Right, so it's like a face-to-face conversation.
Yeah, you can pick up the phone and eyeball the guy, and if the guy doesn't speak English, all the Servcorp team members are bilingual, so you can actually have a Servcorp team member sit there and translate. So, getting that extensibility of your business becomes really powerful.
Now, for you, do you have any stories that stand out that where these kind of wacky connections were made, where businesses maybe created a mashup that one firm found some other ones, and then together they're changing the world?
There are many, many stories like that. Right. But one in particular, I'm actually based in New York, and I'm based in One World Trade Center, and we've been operating there for 2 years, and we've got a few clients who have been around since the start.
Sure.
And one of them is a virtual office client, and he's a guy who's starting a property business, and he's started sort of with home renovations. He's gone into buying his own places and flicking them, and he's got a really good model for how he does that. And sitting where our virtual office clients get to sit when they come in just to visit, sitting 20 meters away is a client who's actually a property financier. And the two had never met, right? They've both been clients of ours for a couple of years.
So that was just pure chance?
Yes. No. So then we roll out this community thing, and the first thing you see when you log into the community is who's near you, right? And so this guy sees this guy, and the other guy sees that guy, and literally they send a message. They're sitting 20 meters from each other, and they send a message to each other, and it's like, do you want to talk about this? Because this model is really good. This guy's ended up, funding his business to the tune of $10 million.
Wow.
And so that sort of stuff is really starting to happen.
Now, do you do events as well, or is the
Yeah,
community...
absolutely. So there's a full event management function there, and it's not just our events that we're sort of putting on to our clients. They can actually create their own events, and it's mm-hmm. got a full event management system in there as well. So
and that's all part of your... Do you call it a membership? What do you call
it? It's all part of the... Well, we'll call it the membership. So it's all part of being a client of Servcorp.
Being
yes.
a client.
Yeah.
Now, can companies rent just office space if they have a meeting or a conference?
Yeah, you can do one-off meetings. So we have that ability, but because we are that, I guess, that premium brand, we want to keep it a little bit more exclusive. And so you got to join. You got to join for a month. But actually, at the end of the day, if you have a 2-hour meeting, it's good value to join for a month anyway. So and the right. first month is free. So you just join. Yeah, you
have
just join.
Meeting.
You have your meeting, and then right. If you love it, maybe you'll come back one day. And if you don't, you just end it. Right.
I'm on here right now looking this stuff up because again, if let's say we want to go to London, we do a couple of days of remote on-site broadcast. Right. We invite local businesses and maybe even some of the potential studio partners to come in. I mean, we could rent space in one of these things,
absolutely.
Set up a lot like we are here in this little space right here,
yeah.
interview those people, and we would, it's a very nice presentation of image because you're in this class A space.
Yeah, literally you could be in what's called the cheese grater, which is, I guess, the newest iconic skyscraper in London, maybe aside from the Shard, but the Shard isn't located that well, but that's another story. So you could literally go to the cheese grater. I think it's the floor is one of the higher floors, and basically you can broadcast from there, you can podcast from there, you can put it on your blog so that everybody can see the view of London Bridge and mm-hmm. London as you're right. broadcasting. And yeah, it is that easy and it is that flexible. And you can join a virtual and you can book that office, you know, book a premium day suite for a couple of days, and the whole exercise will cost you very little. In fact, if you guys want to do that, I'll happily host you in London. So,
well, thank you. You'll probably get that call. And I don't think we're going to be able to talk him into doing the same thing in Forsyth, which is another place we're open.
We'll give you the first one free, and then you know, it's got to...
But no, I think that would be fantastic. This is impressive.
So now, so what's the roadmap for Atlanta?
So the roadmap for Atlanta right now, I'm actually looking. So our plan when we opened in the US was to open small centers, open many small centers. So we opened 23 centers in 2 years, which is, you know, getting some real coverage. And then they were going to be smaller centers focused around the membership business, the virtual office business. And then once we got to sort of break even, we would continually grow those. So we've done a program of growing six of those. Atlanta was not in that program. And I think that just in terms of where Atlanta was in the recovery process, it's maybe been a little slower than some of the others, but I mm-hmm. think that now it's looking like it's shaping up to be good. So we're looking at expanding in our current facilities to more space and finding adjoining space or space within the building. And then in the next 18 months, you know, we're going to be looking for more space in Atlanta, definitely. And we've actually, you know, with all the changes that are happening in our industry, we really think that we've cracked the nut on how the ecosystem works in terms of combining virtual offices, co-working, and physical and permanent offices, right? And so we are just embarking on a program about 10 floors in the US of the 23 that we've got, and about 50 floors globally to incorporate a co-working capability into those floors.
And the co-working capability is the more open?
Yeah, a little more open space, a little more relaxed, a little more, I guess, easygoing, because we've always been kind of, again, going premium. For that premium perception, and it's been a little bit austere, which I think, you know, just needs to relax down a little bit. So we're doing that.
And the target is small business for those co-working?
Or? I don't think our target's going to change all that much. I think that so across it's still, the board...
It's the premium. New, absolutely. If that's important to you, then this is a better fit than maybe other competitors.
We're not going to flip-flops and shorts and right. hipster beards. It's not just not our style.
And then, small business to you is defined a little differently than.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be a business.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people.
A person that just has an idea and then just wants a place to drink coffee and play on the laptop.
Yeah. I mean, there's entrepreneurs, and, you know, Servcorp started with an entrepreneur, right? We started as a small business. And we've supported small businesses in many, many ways. And it is really our drive to support those people that want to make their businesses work. I always throw around a stat that our virtual office product is pretty amazing because it is really targeted at those micro businesses and those super small businesses. You know, our bad debt rate in that business, or, you know, the people who can't pay, is less than 1%. And if you think about that compared to other businesses the stats on small businesses saying, you know, 4 out of 5 small businesses don't
fail.
Make it.
Sure.
So I think that, you know, a lot of that has to do with the fact that having that infrastructure makes your business work. But we want businesses that are going to work, right? We don't necessarily want entrepreneurs. We want entrepreneurs.
Right.
And
that have proven themselves over time a little bit.
Yeah, they're a little, that, you know, are ready to sort of graduate out of the garage or away from just it being an idea funded by somebody else's money.
Mm-hmm. All right, Lee. So you and I probably would not walk into a situation like this automatically knowing what questions we should be asking, what we should be looking for. And I'm not going to try to read them all, but there's a place on their website. It says, if you are to succeed, meet, test, and try. Don't buy a lie. Ensure you protect your business by confirmation. And it's just some things they're saying. Look, go do this. Try this out. Ask these questions. So ask to be connected to the internet. How long does it take? Ask if the provider is tier one. Ask to be allowed to check download speeds. And more of IT support. Ask about disaster transfer. Ask if your phone extension can roam at no cost to other locations. Ask if incoming callers can dial that one for voicemail to mobile. Ask if your phone bill is 20% lower than telco rate. I mean, and I only just picked a few of them, but these are just some of the things you ought to be thinking about when you're shopping. And
some of them have hidden fees that maybe aren't obvious until it's too late?
Yeah, it's not even just the hidden fees. I mean, a lot of people who, particularly startups, who are going to find their own space, don't actually know what to look for.
Right.
Everybody thinks they're an expert and everybody...
Yeah,
I mean, people don't know what to look for. So, you know, we have a genuine interest in making small businesses succeed. And there are things that you need that are going to, A, make your life easier, B, are going to give you more time to focus on your own business, and C, are problems that you shouldn't have to deal with that should already be solved by whoever's providing the space to you. And so you know, we think it's a good guide for people to actually go and run their business.
Now, when you go into a community, how do you kind of immerse yourself in the community?
Well, I mean, I've got some funny stories. You were asking for funny stories, but I mean, I went and lived in Myanmar for a year because we opened an office in Burma when what's happening in Burma now was supposed to happen in 1996, i.e. they had democratic elections and all right. that. It was all going to happen, right? It was all going to open up and it was going to be a great market. So at the age of 24, Yeah, it was like my dad shipping me to Siberia. But basically, I moved off to Myanmar for a year, which was the best year of my life from an adventure standpoint, but probably one of the worst from a business standpoint because it didn't open up and the government clamped down and it became a complete disaster. But you know, I saw some pretty amazing stuff doing that. So you know, we still run with a very entrepreneurial spirit. I think that's probably the best way to answer that question. You know, we run with a lot of our founders' culture with let's get down on the ground and dirty and see what's needed in this market and where you know our facilities are actually going to help businesses work. And so really that's what we do. So we get down and get really deeply involved in the local community and we've done that. And I've certainly taken that approach to New York, because I moved to New York 7 months ago, and you know that can be a tough thing to do because it's a town that can chew you up and spit you out. But you know that's we're still doing that, and that's I think part of our founders' culture that's come down through the business.
Now, what is the pain that your prospective clients having where ServCorp's the right answer?
Look, I think that. It's a very good question. I think that setting up a business, well, there's two parts to answer that. One is that people focus a lot in their business as opposed to on their business.
Right.
This is something we talk about a lot, right? So they're actually doing mundane tasks that should be outsourced.
Right.
But like actually trying to find people to outsource ad hoc tasks to, even like getting your internet set up and stuff like that.
Right, it's not that easy.
Or finding an IT guy who's going to come fix it when it's broken, right? All of that stuff takes away from your business being successful. Even answering your telephone calls. I talk to a lot of people and they're like, look, the telecommunications thing is not important anymore because everybody just does their business on their mobile. Well, that is a complete furphy. It's just something that people think that that's the way to do business. But what happens when you're in the gym? And what happens when you're with your kids? And what happens when you want to go to lunch? Or what happens when you want to have a beer with your mates?
Right.
Sorry, I'm sounding Australian. And I mean, seriously, I don't want to answer the phone. So like who's taking care of that? You know, there's a really good Harvard Business Review study that's out that says that you know, and it's been coming out occasionally for a couple of years, but it basically says that 44% of leads go unanswered. Like who's answering the freaking phone?
Because no one's answering the phone.
Nobody's answering the phone. Like people don't think about this simple stuff, and they think they can do it all themselves.
Right.
I mean, this is in no way is this sexist by any stretch of the imagination. And everybody who ever said that was immediately branded a sexist, but that's okay. The fact is that female entrepreneurs who we absolutely support and want to work will all go out of business because their cell phones happen to be in their handbags, right? So they never answer them. And this is more a problem I have with my wife than it is with entrepreneurs. But do you understand what I'm saying? Like people don't answer their phones and their sales calls go missing. And the difference between responding to a sales call immediately or after 5 minutes or after 10 minutes is like a 400% difference in terms
today's
of the
world,
conversion
right.
of leads.
In today's world, it's instant.
Yeah,
or
every
nothing.
Small business is paying the Google tax. And if you're paying the Google tax, then you want to convert every single one of those leads. And if your phone isn't right on you, then and it's not being answered professionally or it's not being handled by somebody who can actually take the sales call, you're losing money.
Right. You're leaving money on the table, absolutely.
And that, so that's one piece of pain, which obviously I'm very passionate about.
I can see that. It sounds like you have some scar tissue.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, I just it really amazes me that people don't get it. I just it's an astonishing thing for me. And you know, we ever since we were a small business and to becoming a big business, the most important thing that we've been focused on is answering sales calls and sales inquiries and even web forms. I mean, how quickly you respond to a web form. Imagine if you're a small business and you've got a lot of web inquiries coming in and you're trying to get through them all. Imagine just having someone sitting out the front who actually can start responding to those sales calls
instantly, for
you, even with a script, right?
Right.
So, it doesn't have to be a complete that touch point is important. That buys you the time.
Right.
It makes a massive difference to what your conversion rate would be. And so, you know, I'm very happy for everybody to pay Google all this money, but I want them to get a return from it.
Exactly. What's the purpose of paying if you're not going to answer the call? So what is that, the main pain?
Well, I think that's a major pain. And then I think the other thing is that people don't quite understand how important a local presence is, right? And it comes back to, and I'll put this into a bigger pain, you know, how you dress your business is really important to how your product is perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that everybody has to go to a Surf Corp location. Not everybody has to be in a glass tower and want to go for super prestige. But you've got to make a decision. Like, it's an actual decision that
that's
you have
a branding choice.
It's a branding choice.
Right.
It's like, how do I want to dress in the morning? Do I want to dress in a suit? Do I want to dress in flip-flops and shorts? You know, and how do I want to present myself as a person as to where I want to go?
Right.
Now, you know, we have a saying, which is a very common saying, you've got to dress for where you're going. And we think that's a really important thing. We particularly think that that's important. The second part of that is that having a local presence is really, really important. I mentioned before that, you know, your growth as a business, whether you're a small business or a big business, depends on the addressable market that you can get to.
Right.
And so if you can really easily, you know, even if you've got an office with 20 people here in Atlanta, right, how are you servicing your customers in Miami? How are you servicing your customers in Washington, D.C.? How are you servicing your customers? Do you even know if you've got customers in those markets? How do you find out at a very low cost if you've got customers in those markets? And the virtual office really makes that very simple, very risk-free, and very easy.
Now, in your business, attracting businesses to Surf Corp, that's obviously key. Do you have referral sources? Like, are you kind of know every commercial realtor in town? Like, what's the path to, you know, for you to keep the clients coming in?
So we pay the Google tax as well. and you know, we spend $1 million a month with Google globally, which is why I have Google shares.
just from your own, a way to get a payback.
I'm like,
right,
geez, if we're paying these guys this much money, and we're not the biggest business in the world.
Exactly.
So I mean, seriously. And then, you know, we have great relationships with brokers on the ground, and we're a bit of a funny one for brokers because it's really small fry, right? So the guys, because they're small, it's small
right,
spaces.
You're getting their leftover.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and well, it's not so much the leftovers. It's that if you're looking for less than 3,000 square feet, then or 5,000 square feet, then no broker wants to deal with you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, dude, you're wasting my time. I'm not, you know, the commission is not worth it. So they send them to us, and we handle them really well. And the great thing about it is very often we incubate those clients from
and then they can go back to them.
You can send them back.
And we always send them back to the broker that referred them to us. So
right.
that's a great thing. So we definitely do that. So, and there is sort of brokerage, like online broker sites that are out there that are actually, you know, for people to be able to find space. And we have good relationships with them as well and pay commissions and do all of that sort of stuff.
So that's part of the business model as well. When you go into a new market, you kind of immerse yourself with the commercial real estate folks.
Definitely. And I haven't done that for a while. Moving to New York was interesting for me because I sort of went back down and said, right, we've got to get down to the grassroots.
Right, old school.
I'm out having beers with the brokers, and that's the way it went. Not good for my liver, but good for business.
So what's next for you guys? How can we help you?
Yeah, look, I think that there is a real disruption coming in commercial real estate. I think that flexible workspace, and you asked me how mature the American market was, and I may have waffled a little bit on that answer, but the fact is that it's sort of in between. And so the US market has about 4% flexible workspace of all commercial real estate.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, the UK has about 8%. Wow. And, you know, analysts are saying that it's, you know, going to go to 20 or 30%.
I would think that, there's only going to be more of it.
There's only going to be more of it. So there's a lot of headroom. That's why I'm really excited about, you know, what we do and where we're positioned and how that's, you know, that's going to play out.
There can only be one that's a premium, right?
Well, I mean, that's probably room for a couple of premium players. But I mean, the fact is that we're the only ones there right now. And I think that our technology platform in particular is very hard to replicate. And obviously the locations that we've secured are very hard to replicate. So. Right. So, you know, we're in a good position for that. I think that, we certainly want to play a part in that disruption and in being that, you know, fulfilling that need of premium flexible space. And then I also think that, you know, our technology platform has a lot more that it can offer in terms of the change in this industry. So that'll be a bit of a watch this space.
Good stuff. And if somebody wants to learn more?
If somebody wants to know more, they just go to www.servcorp.com. Or you can Google, but then I have to pay the Google tax.
Yeah, don't want
to. Yeah, in every city we have local telephone numbers that you can call, obviously, sure. And your call will be answered by our receptionist, and you'll get put through to somebody immediately, so that we don't we're not one of the 44% of letting 44% of our leads go. So yeah, you can go and do
and
that
you're
right
in
now.
Buckhead and Midtown right now.
In Atlanta, we're in Buckhead and Midtown right now.
And that's ServCorp. ServCorp.com.
That's right.
Well, Marcus, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio today. Thanks so much for joining us, man.
And thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Marcus Muforage with ServCorp, and of course, our fearless producer, Miss Katie Galley, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.